Hi, you're listening to a message from Forward Church. We hope this message will inspire and empower you to move forward.
Live from Los Angeles, California, Freedom Christian Center, the revival capital of the world. Say it! Well, we're so excited to be with you today, and we know that God has something special for you today. And as I was praying and preparing, this really, I felt this is Pentecost Sunday, and really, what better message to minister than the power and the purpose of Pentecost? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask you to have your way. Anoint our lips, anoint my lips, anoint my heart, my mind, my soul, my spirit. Let the word of the Lord go forth powerfully, effectively. Lord, we thank you that the word of God goes forth and disciples are multiplied. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. And all of God's sons and daughters, one more time, right there, wherever you are, go on and give them a big old shout of praise, huh? How many know when praises go up, blessings come down? When praises go up, miracles come down. When praises go up, healing comes down. Come on, give God a praise right there where you're at. I'm going to teach you from the subject, the purpose of Pentecost and its power. You may be seated. The first point I want to talk to you, because sometimes you hear Pentecost Sunday, and we want to talk about maybe one aspect of Pentecost. Some want to talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Other people want to talk about speaking in tongues. Other people want to talk about the effectiveness of tongues. All that is important and it's vital. What I feel today I want to share with you is the purpose of Pentecost, the power and the purpose of Pentecost. What's the purpose of the infilling of the Holy Spirit? What's the purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit? What's the purpose of the endowment of explosive power? We don't want to just have power with no purpose. When you don't understand a purpose for a thing, then you're liable to abuse that thing. We have to understand what this power is for. There's a purpose to the power. Say it. There's a purpose to the power. And we don't want to just have a form of power but have no purpose, because then it becomes religious, it becomes strange, it becomes awkward. No, there's a purpose for the power. And when we don't understand the purpose for the power, we can end up playing with the power, and we can end up basking in the power, having fun with the power, but not being effective with the power. It's like electricity. You can have electricity all you want, but until you can get currency to flow, your lights will never come on. I mean, we want power to flow, and we want lights to come on everywhere. So, first point I want to talk to you about is the power of God in Jesus' earthly ministry. And Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit came down, and God's people were filled with power. And the power of God in Jesus' earthly ministry is very evident. In Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, it said, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder, and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil." And see, Satan hates the anointing of God. He hates that burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. Because when God's anointing was on the ministry of Jesus, somebody could have been crippled all their life. Somebody like a blind person could have been blind. That blind person didn't just affect that person, but everyone in that community knew they were blind. Their family members that had to take care of that blind person, the moms, the dads, the sisters, the aunts, the uncles, everyone was affected by that sickness, that blindness. And here comes Jesus of Nazareth walking through town. And in one moment of the anointing of God, the one moment of that Pentecostal power, one stroke of that pop, that hit from God, that anointing, the blind eyes flipped open. So all the things that the devil did to that entire family, to that blind man, all of it was reversed in a moment when the power shows up. That's why the devil is afraid of a powerful church. He's afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit. How many know, as a church, we don't want to be afraid of the power of the Holy Spirit. Your community, if you're not careful, will intimidate you. The church world will intimidate you. But we must never be intimidated by the spirit of control and Jezebel. But we must allow with wisdom the power of God to flow. Because it is the power of God that reverses the curses in people's lives. It is the power of God that breaks the yoke of bondage. Satan hates this anointing. That's why he hates your pastors.
He hates what they represent because they're anointed. He hates worship leaders because of what they represent. When they sing and they praise God, the anointing shows up and it breaks the bondages. In Acts chapter 10, verse 38, it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So all that were oppressed by the devil and all that were sick were healed by the anointing that was on Jesus of Nazareth. So anywhere he went and everywhere he went, healing showed up, miracles showed up, signs and wonders showed up, deliverance showed up. So the devil could have been in that person's life for 3, 4, maybe 5, 6 years. 10 years been in that family. And all of a sudden when that anointing shows up, when that power shows up, all of what the devil did is broken in a moment. How many thank God that you stepped into a church one day? Come on forward, church. How many thank God you stepped into the house of God? Or you went to a home group and the anointing was there, the power was there. And whatever was on you got broken off of you. That anointing is such an amazing thing. In Luke 4:18, Jesus testifies about this power in his ministry. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is up on me because the Father God has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." So he's saying right there, when the anointing shows up, it breaks a spirit of poverty. How many know that right now in economic recession in America, we're feeling it, and some people you may be reaching are struggling financially. How many believe that when the anointing of God shows up, it breaks in the spirit realm lack and poverty? You see, anywhere, come on, clap like we're gonna flow. Anywhere the anointing flows, there'll be persecution. So anytime you want to preach prosperity to the people of God to break lack off their life, the enemy will come against that church. See, he'll come against your church. If your pastor preaches on tithing, he preaches on giving, he preaches on sowing, he preaches on plenty and abundance, the spirit of the world in your city and in your country will come against that church. That's a principality. That's a power. And sometimes those spirits even enter the church, where the church comes against prosperity. But no matter what, the anointing of God breaks the spirit of poverty. But if you're going to walk in abundance, you got to be willing to be persecuted. You got to be willing to get talked about. You got to be willing to be hated on. But it doesn't matter. They can hate you, talk about you, walk away from you. But in the end, they can't stop you, because if the anointing's on you, it will increase you in a famine. Isaac prospered in a famine. Abraham prospered in a famine. Jacob prospered in a famine. Joseph, the anointing took him from the pit to the palace. They can try to block you, but they can't stop you, because the anointing brings increase. Shout like the anointing is breaking poverty. That poverty is a spirit, and it tries to hold God's people in bondage. That's why God raises up deliverers in the body of Christ. Your church, your pastors are deliverers. And part of our message is to not just break sickness and disease or demonic oppression and bondage. But the first message Jesus preached, he said, "The anointing is upon me to remove burdens and destroy yoke." And the first burden and the first yoke we're going to destroy is the spirit of poverty. That spirit took Jesus out. That spirit jumped into Judas and sold him out for 30 pieces of silver. But we won't sell out our God, for our God maketh us rich and hath no sorrow. See, some of you don't even like me preaching this right now, because that spirit already got a hold of you. You've been in church for years, but you don't like preaching on prosperity. You don't like preaching on abundance. You don't like preaching on giving. But that's a spirit that must be broken. And in Jesus' name, God is sending me from LA to tell you, let my people go. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. He said right here, I'm anointed to preach good news to the poor. I just feel like I need to preach that a little more. You know, God, part of the assignment on us here in LA, we get people coming in with generations of poverty. And I'm not against government help, but here it becomes a, if you're not careful, it can become an enablement, not unhealthy enablement, where mom was on government assistance, which I believe in, but then now daughter's on government assistance. And now the kids are on government assistance. And now we have generations of people depending on the government where they can literally prosper on their own. And now they're coming in generations of poverty. In America, it's called welfare. Generations of it where they're dependent on that little check from the government and they can barely make ends meet. My assignment as a prophet of God, my assignment as a man of God is to preach the word. And when they believe God and they believe the prophet, they begin to come out of that poverty. Because the message that you speak carries authority and anointing. I don't know why I'm talking, but I feel like I'm talking to somebody right now. And that you've had generations of poverty in your family. Maybe you're on an island somewhere and you feel like there's no way out. Let me tell you, there's a way out. Yes, work hard. Yes, get your degree. Yes, go to college. But in the end, it's the anointing that breaks poverty. Because if you don't break it in the spirit, it'll put you back in bondage. You don't want to come out on your own anyway. Lest you say you made yourself rich. No, when the king of Sodom came to take credit for Abraham's wealth, Abraham said, I will not lift my hand to no man. He said, I'm not going to say you help me. No, I lift my hand to the Lord. For Abraham said, it was the Lord who made Abram wealthy. And that's what you need to say. The Lord made me wealthy. Money is coming my way. Checks are coming my way. Businessmen, doors are opening right now. Businesswoman, doors are opening. Don't let Corona shut you down. Don't let Corona stop you. For the anointing of God is greater than a coronavirus. Whoa. Somebody say, I got good news to the poor. He sent me to heal. The anointing heals the brokenhearted. So Jesus would show up. Like the woman at the well, brokenhearted. Five husbands. The guy at home wasn't even her husband. She's at a well looking for another man. Brokenhearted. Relationship after relationship. Over and over we find Jesus ministering to the brokenhearted. Some were physically sick, but because they were physically sick, eventually it got them emotionally sick. So not only are they physically beaten up, they're spiritually and emotionally beaten up. And when Jesus would come through, that anointing would flow from him into them and it would begin to heal the broken hearts. How many thank God we serve the God that can heal the broken hearted? Where a therapist maybe couldn't put you back together. A psychologist, maybe they can't put you back together. How many know God has an anointing? I know this sounds like foolishness, you know, in our day and society. We say, oh, no, the psychologist and the therapist are the only ones. No, my friend, God is the ultimate counselor. God is the ultimate healer. And if we're going to be the church, people should be able to come through our doors mentally ill, suicidal, oppressed, and depressed, and coming through our doors, and the power hit them. Pentecost hit them and let them go. Shout like you believe there's power from God to heal the brokenhearted. Preach deliverance to the captive. There's an anointing to deliver the captive, to deliver the drug addict, to deliver the sexual pervert, to deliver those with suicidal thoughts, to deliver those that are addicted to food, to deliver those that are addicted to perversion, to deliver those addicted to whatever form or ever fetish of bondage Satan has put them in. And some of them, it's generations of bondage. Grandma couldn't get out. Grandpa couldn't get out. Dad couldn't get out. I couldn't get out. Now my kids are in it and they can't get out. But you want to thank God today because there is an anointing from God that can break every vice, every addiction, every form of bondage. There is no bondage that hell has created that the anointing of God cannot break. He is a chain breaker. He is a yoke destroyer. He is the God that is well able to deliver. The bondage of sickness, the bondage of disease. He said, the anointing brings recovery of sight to the blind. Any form of sickness. How many know blindness is a pretty drastic form of sickness? Blindness, it's incurable. Even to this day, it's incurable. 2,000 years later, with all the advancements we've made in medicine, blindness is still incurable. But yet 2,000 years ago, on the streets of Galilee, there was a young man named Jesus from Nazareth who would walk the streets, and all of a sudden somebody that was blind, one man named was Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, who sat by the roadside begging, and when Jesus passed him by, he halted, called the blind man out and said, "Be healed," and his eyes that had been darkened were opened by the glory of the anointing of God. How many believe there's a purpose for the Pentecostal power? Then it goes on to say to set free them that are bruised. How many know sometimes life can bruise you deep? Sometimes you're messed up and you don't even know you're messed up. Some people with PTSD and post-traumatic stress syndrome, they don't even know they're messed up. They're acting, they don't even know it. But when that anointing goes in, it can go so deep, it can heal you of your childhood. Things that happened when you were 4, 5, 6, 7. Things you forgot about. Things you buried. You just buried them way down. And you just think they're not there no more. But they are there. But they pop up another way. Things that you just, I decided to forget that tragedy. I decided to never think about that again. I decided to forget it, but it's still there. But that anointing can come in and it begin to heal the bruises that were placed upon you by others. Sometimes that you took the bruises when you were young. And you couldn't defend yourself and you just buried it. But when when that power comes, it begins to mend, it begins to heal, it begins to restore the bruises in our lives. Thank God for the power in Jesus' earthly ministry. But how many know the same power, that same explosive power was not limited to Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It was not, some say, well, it was limited to the early church. The early church had it, but it wasn't limited to Jerusalem and Jesus. It wasn't limited to the early church, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. No, that same explosive power, Jesus said, it's available today to every born again Christian. That healing power, that poverty breaking power, that setting the captive free power, the healing sick body power, the curing of the deep bruise power is still available to you and it's available to me. Come on, why don't we celebrate the fact that he came, that he died, that he rose on the third day, and he told his boys, if I don't go, I can't send them. But when I go, I'm going to send the third person of the Godhead bodily. He's not just a it. He's not just a thing. He's God, and he comes with power. In Spanish, we say fuego. He comes with fire to set you ablaze. Acts 1:8 says, and you might receive. Say, no, pastor. All right. And you may receive. No, pastor, that's not what it says. In the New Living Translation, it says you will receive power, explosive power. To be exact, dynamite power. I'm talking explosive power. One scripture says when the Spirit of God comes upon you, you turn into a different man. I look at my wife sometimes and she's so beautiful. My Japanese queen, she's so beautiful. 5'1", 100 pounds, maybe a little more. Little petite, beautiful, my wife. But my God, she turns into a 7'9" Holy Ghost gangbanger, my friend. I mean, she gets me scared. She got a glaze in her eyes, and it's even like her hair goes up. I don't know what's going on. Her eyelashes go bam, and it's like that. My wife just turned into a different person. The Holy Ghost just hijacked her. Next thing you know, she's casting out demons. She's praying for the sick. She's ministering with power. Come on, how many thank God for that dynamite power, that explosive power? When the Holy Spirit comes on you and he says, here's the purpose. You're going to be a witness. You're going to tell people everywhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Look what I'm talking to you. I'm in Los Angeles. I'm like a 19-hour flight from you. That's far. But you know what? I mean, thank God for technology. And the anointing is not limited by time or space. So that same power that's here, I believe it's right there in your living room today. All the world being a witness. You see, part of the purpose of the power is, like we read, is to save, is to heal, and it is to set free. In Mark 16, it says, and these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, are you a believer? Are you a believer? Then in Jesus' name, you're going to cast out demons. Oh, no, I had one pastor say, I don't even believe in that. I said, then where did all the demons go, brother? He looked at me, he's like, you're right. I said, of course I'm right. They're still there. I said, just because they don't come out doesn't mean they're not there. Some demons know how to hide. But when the anointing comes, they show up. You know, sometimes when I start fasting and praying in our church and we start getting ready to maybe do an encounter, and man, the demons start showing up, man. They start coming out of people, but that thing was there the whole time. But when the anointing comes out, it makes it come out. It makes it manifest. That's why, anyway, that's another bono scary. Okay, they will speak with new tongues. So you that don't believe in tongues, well, it's in the Bible. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. You could put coronavirus there. But Pastor, CNN said, I don't care what CNN said. I mean, we're going to be smart. We're going to be wise. We're going to do our part. But right here it says, if a snake bites you, it can't kill you. And if you drink deadly poison, it won't affect you. That's supernatural. See, that's the heavy unbelief right there. Because the media is pumping fear, 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 fear. But listen, if you've gotten COVID, you believe God to recover. And if you don't have it, believe God you won't get it. Come on, somebody. And if you get it, believe God you'll conquer it. Why? Because the anointing heals. Now here it says, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Let me say it 10 times. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Look at. They will lay hands, look at all the media. Watch me. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. No, you can't do that. Praise God. The Bible says they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Pat, you can't. And they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. But and they will lay hands on the sick and they will and they will lay hands on the sick and they will lay hands on the sick and you 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 will lay hands on the sick on the sick. You will lay hands. You will lay hands. You come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Jesus was in the middle of lepers, and he would lay hands on lepers. Come on. Leprosy could be transferred. Leprosy was contagious, but yet God was greater than leprosy, just like he's greater than COVID. You're late. Come on, somebody clap. Like this is what Pentecostal power is all about. The purpose for the power is to save, to be a witness. It's to heal, and it's to set free. But also, the purpose for the power is to make disciples and carry on the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Son. So here is the purpose of the power: to save, to heal, to deliver, and to disciple. Because God never wanted the power just in Jesus. Jesus never wanted the power just in him. That's why he gave it to the 12 disciples. And then the early church had it. They knew they needed it. Look at here, it says, and through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people. In Acts 5, 12, 15, and 16, it said, so they brought the sick out into the streets, and they laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing might fall on them. And also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities, and they brought the sick people and those who were tormented by demons, and they were all healed. See, in the last days, this was the early church. They knew they needed this power. That's why they waited in Jerusalem. That's why they waited in the upper room. Because they saw, Peter looked at himself in the mirror of sorts and said, man, I just failed him. I just betrayed him. I mean, there's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all walked out on him. These men were not fit to bring deliverance. They were not fit to be a witness. They were not fit to heal. They were not fit to anything. They had just betrayed Jesus in this most vulnerable moment. So they knew their weakness. And they knew, we can't do this on our own. We can't have church on our own. I think sometimes in America, at least, we learn structure, we learn systems, and we think we can build churches without the power. But the apostles knew we can't do this without power. And that's why he said, go wait in Jerusalem in the upper room. And there was 120 in that upper room. What were they doing? They were waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit. Before that, they were failures. Before that, they were deniers. Before that, they were cussers. Before that, Peter was trying to kill somebody. Before that, they were deniers. Before that, they were fleers. But when that power showed up, when that third person of the Godhead bodily showed up in that little upper room, those men were turned into different men. And it was declared that these are the uneducated. These are unlearned. But you can't deny that these are the men who turned the world upside down. Come on. Is there anybody here that wants God to use you to save, to heal, to deliver, to disciple? Come on. That power is available right here from heaven. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the power of God in my life, in my mouth, in my hands. Somebody give God some worship and some praise. Jesus. You see, church, in the last days, Satan wants to separate God's power from his church. It said having a form of godliness. These are church people. These folk go to church, but they deny the power of God. He said, turn away from them. Because if you have a powerless gospel, a gospel that doesn't heal, a gospel that doesn't set free, a gospel that doesn't disciple, then what kind of gospel do we have? Well, Pastor, people are getting saved, but they're living in bondage. They're living defeated. And God said in the last days, they'll have a form of godliness, but there'll be no power or anointing in their lives. We will never be that kind of church. I know your pastors, they'll never allow that. Some of you come out of powerless churches. Don't go back to that lifestyle. God called us to the anointing. In the last days, this will be the trick of the devil. He'll creep into the church and put her to sleep. Make us political. Make us jock for position. Make us like Pharisees. Structure, no power. Music, no power. Preaching and teaching, but no power. The form is there, but the fuego is gone. We will never be a church with form and no fire. We will carry form and we will carry fire. And together will see the glory of the latter house. You believe it? Go on, give God a praise like you trust the Lord today. Come on, you could do better than that. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, my speech and my preaching, it was not just with enticing words of man's wisdom. See, you can be enticed with man's wisdom. I could be enticed with fancy words and philosophy of men and the new latest and the greatest fad. We can be deceived. And Paul said, no. My preaching and my speech were not with enticing words of man's wisdom. But when I came in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Why? That your faith, your trust, and your belief would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Because when you're dealing with the poverty spirit, you don't need a good philosophy. You need to choke that devil out with the power and command him to come out. And some of them devils get stubborn and they lock in there and they look at you like they looked at the seven sons of Sceva and they said, I ain't coming out. But baby, when you got power, come on, I feel like prophesying. You could tell that poverty devil, get out of my life. I feel like I'm talking to a mother right now. And you've been praying for your baby, and that devil is stubborn. I ain't letting them go. I killed their daddy, and I'm gonna kill them. I stopped them, and I'm gonna stop them. But mama, the devil is a liar. I declare a fresh anointing over you, and by the power of God, command that boy to be loose in Jesus' name. Devil, get out of my daughter. Get out of my son. Get out of my home. Get out right now in the power of God. In the power of God. Not wisdom, not faith in Pastor Jason, not faith in a man, because we can fail you, but God will never leave you, never forsake you, and never fail you. Government can fail you. Preachers can fail you. Jobs can fail you. Economies can fail you. Your own spouse can fail you. But when you carry that power and your faith is in the power, your back may be against the wall. You may not know how you're gonna get out. You may not know what you're gonna do. But I got a good word for you. Lift up your eyes, because your power is coming from heaven and your deliverance is coming from God. And if you seek God and put faith in that power, like the woman with the issue of blood, the healing virtue of heaven will flow. I know the doctor said no, but the anointing says yes. I know your body says no, but the anointing says yes. Right now, the power of God is in the room. Reach up and take your healing. Sometimes you gotta forget the crowd and press through with your worship and receive from heaven. Sing it, anointing.
you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right there, say, "Dear Lord Jesus, I ask you right now to baptize me with the Holy Spirit and with fire, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues." God, and pray in the Spirit. Open your mouth and pray. I feel the devil get nervous in the name. That's it. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow out of your belly. Flows. Let it bubble up. Let it bubble up. Let it bubble up. Rompa shaka. Don't be afraid. God's not going to give you a serpent. He's going to give you his Spirit. Rompa shaka. Right now, you're never going to be the same. Anointing, anointing, setting addicts free, setting bondages right now free. Worship. Come on, that's it. Freedom, worship. Lift your voice and praise God. One more time. Just open your mouth and I'll fill it, says the Lord. Pray in other tongues right there. You don't need nobody to pray for you. I'm praying for you right now. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the anointing. Oh my God. Revival's breaking out all over Australia. Lift your voice. Lay hands on your daughter. Lay hands on your son. Cast that spirit out. Cast that infirmity out. Get out of my daughter. Get out of my son. Get out of my home. Anointing.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like more information, please visit our website, forwardchurch.com.